I want you to open your Bibles now to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi, chapter 3. This is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi, the third chapter. There's a prophecy in Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1, that I want us to note. In Malachi 3, verse 1, the prophet of God wrote, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now there was a man called Simeon in Jerusalem who was seeking the Lord whom ye seek. This man waited for the coming Redeemer. This man waited for the Messiah who would redeem Israel. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit in a most uncommon, unusual way, that he would not see death, that he would not die, until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now then the Holy Spirit led him," verse 27, "that day to the temple, the day that Mary and Joseph brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. That same day the Holy Spirit brought Simeon to the temple. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." This was not in Bethlehem. This was not in Nazareth. This was not in Capernaum. This was in Jerusalem. This was in the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. And when Mary and Joseph brought the child Jesus to the temple to do for him according to the law, the Holy Spirit brought this man Simeon. This man upon whom the Spirit of God had come in an unusual, uncommon fashion and promised him, according to God's word, that he would not see death until he had seen the Savior, until he had seen the Christ, until he had seen the Messiah. And he took, verse 28, he took the child up in his arms, this old man Simeon, and then he lifted his eyes to heaven, and he praised God, and he said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let thy servant depart. I've seen thy salvation." A man's not ready to die who has not seen God's salvation. A man's not ready to die who has not seen the Lord's Christ. A man's not ready to die who has not seen him who is our mediator. And when Simeon saw the Savior, Simeon said, "Now, I'm ready to depart." And to depart in peace. A man certainly cannot die in peace who has not seen the Savior. He dies in fear and trembling. He can never die in peace. And Simeon went on. He said, "Let me depart in peace according to thy word." His faith was based upon God's word. "You told me, Lord, that I would see the Christ. You told me, Lord, that I would not die until I'd seen the Christ. You told me, Lord, that he would be the Savior. And now that I've seen him, I'm ready to die." The world lost for Simeon its attractiveness and its beauty. He stood there and looked into the face of him who is God's Redeemer. And he praised God and he said, Lord, now I'm ready to depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. When Simeon saw Jesus Christ, he saw salvation itself. He didn't just see a plan. He saw salvation. He didn't just see a way of redemption. He saw redemption. He didn't just see a way of justification. He saw justification. For everything about Christ is saving. I read some time ago this statement. Incarnation, and that's the birth of Christ. Incarnation is God becoming a man. And this author said, incarnation is the beginning of substitution. Simeon could look at Christ, the incarnate God, and he could say, I've seen thy salvation. He didn't see Gethsemane's garden. He didn't see Calvary's cross. He didn't see the tomb, the empty tomb. He didn't see the ascension. All he was looking at here was a baby. And he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And the reason he could say that is because incarnation is the beginning of substitution. And salvation is guaranteed by incarnation. For Jesus Christ would not enter the battle and quit before the victory. Jesus Christ would not start what he did not intend to finish. So the very birth of Christ is saving. And then secondly, the life of Christ is saving. Turn to Romans chapter 5. If we're not careful, and we ought to make much of the cross, the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. We preach Christ and Him crucified. But my friends, we are saved not only by the death of Christ, we're also saved by the life of Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 18, the Scripture says, therefore, as by the offense of one, that is Adam's transgression, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness, by the obedience, by the holy life of one, Christ Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Christ's birth is saving, and Christ's life is saving. For by one man's disobedience, verse 19, Romans 5, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And this is not only obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, but this is obedience unto the law. The very fact that Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple with those two turtle doves or two young pigeons, that was an offering for a very poor woman. The offering varied according to a person's ability to pay. And the very fact that they brought him to the temple to be circumcised and to offer those purification vows and sacrifices is proof that Christ was fulfilling the law. He was born under the Jewish ceremonial law, and he fulfilled it. He was born under God's moral law, and he fulfilled it. He was born under the civil law of the Roman Empire, and he fulfilled it. He was born under all of the laws of the home, and he fulfilled them. So we're saved not only by his death, but by his life. Christ's obedience was a perfect obedience, and imputed or reckoned unto us as if it were our own. Simeon saw in the birth of Christ salvation. Simeon saw in the life of Christ salvation. And also, look at Romans 5, verse 6. His death is saving. His birth, his life, his death. For it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And by God's grace, I'm heaven bound. But my only hope, my only plea, is that when Christ died, He died for me. He took my sin in His body on the tree. He took my guilt in His soul on the tree. And He took my hell and wrath from the hand of God on the tree. And He paid in full the entire debt and set me free. And then His resurrection. Look at Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His resurrected life. Right now, Christ intercedes for us. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Paul says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, if risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What I'm saying is this, that when Simeon held in his arms the child Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven and blessed God and said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, he saw in Christ salvation. He saw in Christ redemption. He saw in Christ justification, in the person Christ Jesus. You cannot disassociate redemption, sanctification, forgiveness from the person of Christ. And you cannot isolate it to one phase of His life or His death. Christ is salvation. In His birth, in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, in His intercession, and in His covenant relationship. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, Christ is saving His is the Savior in His covenant relationship with us. He is the guarantor. He is the surety. His blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant. Look at Hebrews 13, 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Christ's relationship with His people started before His people were ever born. Christ's relationship with His people started before His people ever fell. Christ's relationship with His people started before His people were ever created. Christ's relationship with His people started before this world had a being, for He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And He is our Savior in covenant relationship. He is our Savior in His birth. He is our Savior in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, and now in His intercession and in His second coming. He is salvation. Now the second thing. Simeon had not found salvation anywhere else. It says in verse 25 that he was a just man. He was a just man, but he had not found salvation in his character. He had been a just man for a long time. But it wasn't until he saw Christ that he said, now I'm ready to die. It wasn't until he saw Christ that he said, I'm ready to depart, and that in peace. I have at last seen thy salvation. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, the Apostle Paul very emphatically states that we are not justified by the works of the law. Listen, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It doesn't matter who that flesh is. It doesn't matter how just that flesh is. It doesn't matter how devout that flesh is. It doesn't matter how sincere that flesh is. by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It doesn't matter under what dispensation that flesh is born, whether in the millennium, or whether in New Testament days, or whether in Old Testament days, or whether under the days of innocence or conscience or whatever, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. And Simeon had certainly not found salvation in his character. He was a just man. He was a devout man, the Scripture said. But it wasn't till he saw Christ that he said, I've seen salvation. And then Simeon had not found salvation in the law. He was a priest. Some think he was a high priest. He was a man who was a student of the law. He was brought up under the law. He was a teacher of the law. And I'm sure to the best of his ability, he was a keeper of the law. And he had held that law, those old manuscripts and parchments in his hand, thousands of times, but he never saw salvation in the law. It wasn't until he saw Christ that he said, these old eyes have seen salvation. And then he had not seen salvation in the ceremonies. Not many of those Jewish leaders knew what Paul knew. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. It's not possible. I'm sure Simeon had gone about the ceremonies of the temple hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I don't know how old he was, but I just picture him as being a very old man. Probably with snow-white hair. Probably with stooped shoulders and a wrinkled face and gnarled hands. And he held that little child in his hand. These hands had gone about performing ceremonies and rituals and all kind of feasts and all kind of special days and all kind of sacrifices, and yet his heart had never known any peace. His heart had never known any rest. His heart had never known any assurance. He had not found in any of those religious ceremonies any peace. It was not until he picked up that child that he could lift his heart to God and say, I'm ready to die. I've seen thy salvation. And then he did not find salvation in his religious affiliation. He wasn't a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic. He was a Jew. He was one of God's chosen people. And not only was he one of God's chosen people, but he was one of God's chosen priests. And not only was he one of God's chosen priests, but he was one of the priests that ministered about the things of the tabernacle and the temple. And yet he found no satisfaction, he found no salvation in his religious affiliation. It looks like, as Paul said, if anybody has anything to boast about, he said, it's me. Why, he said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee. I was born of the tribe of Benjamin, the beloved. Circumcised when I was 8 days old, exceeded many of my equals, concerning the Jewish law blameless, but these things to me I count dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. I wish we could get modern denominationalists to say that. I wish we could get some devout Baptist to say, or some devout Methodist, or devout Presbyterian, this label means nothing to me. These customs and traditions mean nothing to me. I was brought up in a devout Baptist home or Presbyterian home, but I count these things but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, that I might be made conformable to his death. We're too proud to do that. But Simeon had not found salvation in his character, and I'm sure his character was above reproach, that is, by men. He had not found salvation in his good deeds, and I'm sure they exceeded ours. He had not found salvation in the law, and I'm sure that he was a more law-abiding man than any of us. That was his very life. He studied it. He taught it. He observed it. He had not found salvation in any of his church rituals, and they were more complicated than your sacraments and your baptisms. He had not found salvation in his religious affiliation, and there's more about the Jews in the Bible than there is about the Baptists, I guarantee you. And then he labeled Christ correctly. He looked down at that child Jesus and he said, "Lord, mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He was not interested in man's plans or remedies or ways of salvation. He said, "I've seen God's salvation." God's salvation. Turn to Isaiah chapter 12. I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 12, verse 1 and 2. Listen to it. And in that day, we're talking about the day when Christ shall come. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me," he has a right to thee, doesn't he? "Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation." God is my salvation. Not my good works, not my religious experience, not my decision. God is my salvation. "And I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he also is become my salvation." God himself is my salvation. When Simeon said, "Lord, mine eyes have seen thy salvation," he referred to the salvation of which the prophets spoke. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, the Scripture says, "To him give all the prophets witness." Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? I want you to see this right here. I want you to turn to it and look directly at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. Now, Luke wrote in Acts 10:43, "To him give all the prophets witness." And the prophets we're talking about there, Moses and Samuel and Isaiah, Jeremiah and Hosea and Malachi and all the Old Testament prophets. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins." That's what Moses wrote. Moses rose of me, Christ said. "You believe him, you believe me." That's what Abraham believed. Abraham saw my day and was glad. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 3, now listen. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank," this is talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness, leaving Egypt, going to the promised land. This is way back before Christ came to this earth. "And they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." You remember the rock that Moses spoke and the water came out? Listen to the next verse. "And that rock was whom?" That rock was Christ. If you'll underscore that verse right there, and from there go through the rest of the Bible and see that that rock is Christ. "And that serpent lifted up is Christ." That serpent lifted up is Christ Jesus. "And that ark rising on top of the water to save Noah and his family is Christ. And that bread that fell from heaven is Christ." All of these Old Testament types and illustrations, that sacrifice is Christ. That blood on the mercy seat is Christ. That high priest going under the veil to take the offering once a year on the Day of Atonement, that's Christ. Simeon said, "I've seen thy salvation," typified in the Old Testament. Christ is our Passover. When those old Jewish fathers slew the lamb and put the blood on the doorposts and on the two side posts, and God went through at midnight and honored that blood, He wasn't looking at that animal blood, for the blood of an animal cannot put away the sin of a man. He saw Christ. He saw the cross. When God looked at Abel's sacrifice, He saw the cross. When God looked at the Day of Atonement, He saw the cross. When God looked at every sacrifice of the Old Testament, He saw the cross of His dear Son. Thy salvation, of which the prophets spoke. Thy salvation, typified in the Old Testament. Thy salvation, which honors Thy perfect law. Thy salvation, which manifests Thy glory and satisfies Thy justice. Thy salvation, promised, prepared, predestinated, and sent in the fullness of time. Turn to Galatians. Here it is in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians, the third chapter. It says in Galatians, the fourth chapter, verse 4. Listen. But when the fullness of time was come, God's own time, the time that He purposed, the time that He predestinated, the time that He foreordained, the time that He prophesied, the time that He typified, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And then in the last place, Simeon saw in Christ all of salvation. Let's look at his testimony one more time. And he took the baby up in his arms, and he lifted his eyes to God, and he said, Lord, now let Thy servant depart in peace according to Thy word. For mine eyes have seen. Now the Holy Spirit let Simeon see the Lord Jesus Christ and reveal to him God's salvation. The Holy Spirit does the same thing for you and me. We see with eyes of faith in the Word of God salvation in Christ. And He said, I have seen Thy salvation. He didn't say, now listen to me, He didn't say, I've seen a part of salvation. Christ, a part of salvation. You know, someone jokingly said one time, what most people believe is Jesus paid a part, and I a part, you know, sin left a crimson stain, but we washed it white as snow. No, Simeon didn't say, I've seen a part of Thy salvation. He didn't say, I've seen a payment on salvation. He didn't say, I see a saving effort. He didn't say, I see an offer. He said, I see Thy salvation. All of it. Salvation from the ruin of the fall. In Adam we died, in Christ we're made alive. Salvation from the guilt of sin. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Salvation from the power and dominion of sin. For He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. And then turn to Hebrews 13. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, salvation from the love of this world. I see in Christ the same thing Simeon saw. 2,000 years later, I don't see Him in the flesh with natural eyes. I see Him in the Word of God with spiritual eyes. But I see Him through the influence and power of the same Holy Spirit. And I see in Jesus Christ not a payment, not a part, but I see in Jesus Christ all of salvation. All that I need, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything in Christ. I'm complete in Him. That's what Scripture says. You are complete in Him. And salvation from the ruin of the fall, salvation from the penalty of the fall, salvation from the power of the fall, and salvation from this world In Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee, and I'll never forsake thee. I want you to listen to the amplified version on that verse of Scripture. Will you listen to it? Let your character be free from the love of money, from greed, from craving for worldly possessions, and be satisfied with what you have. For God Himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, I will not leave you without support, and I'll never forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord's my helper. That's what David was saying when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. God says, I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you. Your inheritance is not in this world. Your inheritance is undefiled, reserved in heaven, and fades not away. And when we see Christ, the world just loses its vanity and loses its attractiveness and loses its influence and loses its magnetic appeal. And we want to see a whole lot less of it and a whole lot more of Him. Salvation from death. Christ said, because I live, you'll live. You'll live. And salvation from judgment. We have a mediator. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And salvation from hell. He said, they shall never perish. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, not in words about Him, in Him. Not in ordinances which typify Him, in Him. Not in churches and friends that represent Him, in Him. That whosoever believeth in Him, to as many as receive Him, not the words about Him, not even the truth about Him, but to as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I think that's where we're missing it. I think there are people right here tonight who believe the truth about Jesus Christ, but they've never received Him. I believe there are people here tonight, there are people who will hear this message on the radio, who believe the truth about Him and the words about Him, but they've never personally, intimately, intelligently, willingly, lovingly, eternally, on purpose, received Him as prophet to reveal God to me, as priest to secure God's mercy for me, and as king to reign over me. Have you received Him? Have you ever, like Thomas, when Christ came into that upper room, actually fallen at His feet and said, my Lord and my God? I believe Christ died on the cross. So does the devil. The Bible says you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes that and trembles. Well, I believe He was buried and rose again. So does the devil. But the devil's never bowed to the scepter of Christ. The devil's never bowed to the lordship of Christ. The devil's never cried for mercy in Christ. And that's what a sinner's got to do. If you shall receive Jesus Christ to be Lord, believe in thine heart, God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To as many as receive Him. Him. Not an offer extended from His hand. Him. Not an inheritance provided for Him. Him. When you receive Him, you receive the offer. When you receive Him, you receive the inheritance.
When you receive healing, you receive the forgiveness. When you receive healing, you receive salvation, because He's salvation. You see the difference? I wish I could make it clear. I can't. I wish I could make it plain. It's impossible. It has to be revealed by the Holy Ghost. But you don't receive just forgiveness from the hand of Christ. You receive Christ, and when you receive Him, you have forgiveness. You don't receive eternal life from the hand of Christ. You receive Him who is eternal life. You don't receive salvation provided. Somebody says, I'm trusting the finished work of Christ. I'm not. And I don't mean to be irreverent there. And I don't mean to destroy somebody's playhouse, but that's not what I'm trusting. I'm trusting Christ. You say there's a difference? There certainly is a difference. I'm not trusting His finished work. I'm trusting Him who finished the work. He's my Savior. The cross is not the Savior. The one who hung on the cross is the Savior. That's who the Savior is. That's what Simeon is saying, what I've been trying to point out in this message. He said, Lord, He didn't even see the cross. He saw a person. In fact, He didn't know anything about the cross. Because He died before Christ died on the cross. He saw a person. And salvation's Christ. And Christ is salvation. And when I receive Him, when He comes in, when I bow to Him, when I receive, when I submit, Barnard said the word receive in John 1:12 is nothing in the world but the word submit. And when I submit to a person and receive a person and rest in a person, I have everything that that person can give me. When a woman marries a man, she receives everything he's got. He gives her his name. He gives her his money. He gives her his home. She's joint heir with him. They're hers too. Now then, she can't have the name without marrying him, without the man. You can't have the name without the man. You can't have the home without the man. You can't have the money without the man. You can't have the inheritance without the man. You see what I'm saying? But if you have the man, they're all yours. And that's the way it is when Christ Jesus, when we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, we receive a person. And when I receive Him, I have His covenant suretyship. I have His death. I have His life. I have His wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. I have eternal glory. I'm a joint heir with Christ because I'm one with Christ. And what He has, I have. Where He is, I am. See what I'm saying? That's the reason Simeon said, I've seen God's salvation. I'm ready to depart. I'm ready to depart. Because I've seen Thy salvation. Let us all pray. God, reveal salvation to me. Reveal Christ to me. And let us pray, Lord, empty me and strip me and break me and humble me to the place where I can see my inability and His ability, and that I will come to receive Him and Him alone. And when I have Him, I'll have everything God's got. There's nothing more to be gained if I have Christ. Lord, bring me to Christ. Our Father, bless the Word. Make it effectual. God, able to take the words that we have spoken tonight and make them life-giving words in the hands of Thy Holy Spirit. Glorify Thy matchless name, and we'll praise Thee forever. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.